Comic Chris Elliott is the son of Bob Elliott, half of the comedy team Bob and Ray. Chris has been a cast member of Saturday Night Live and is a former writer for The David Letterman Show. When Terry talked with Chris and Bob Elliott in 1989, Chris had just published a Mommy Dearest parody about how horrible his childhood was. It's called Daddy's Boy, a son's shocking account of life with his famous father. Chris read an excerpt called Birthday Hell about a birthday party his father orchestrated for him in which Chris was allowed to invite one of his classmates.
I was always a very shy little boy. I was scared of clowns, and I retreated violently from anything that smacked of audience participation. At a party, if a magician pulled me out of a group as his volunteer assistant, my body would immediately stiffen like a plank of wood, and my scalp would foam up with hot sweat. Anything like a sing-along would elicit the same reaction. I remember needing oxygen at Macy's after meeting Santa Claus, and once I told Ronald McDonald that I wished he was dead. So all in all, I was not a party boy, and no one knew this better than Daddy. Still, my sixth birthday was to be bigger and better than any before. Daddy filled our backyard with every conceivable form of audience participation known to man. Are you enjoying this so far, Dad?
Have you begun it?
There were clowns, mimes, jugglers, puppet shows, magicians, dancers, all eager to involve me in their acts. There were fashion shows, wrestling matches, and Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, gave a cooking demonstration. It was everything that I hated. I was allowed to invite only two of my classmates. The rest of the invitations went out to Daddy's friends. Among those who attended were Dick Cavett, Al Hirschfeld, and Jerry Vale. Not the most exciting group of playmates for a six-year-old kid. Dick Cavett bent my ear for an hour and a half about peanut butter. But for my dad, the party was a big success. As usual, the press was invited, the television networks set up their anchor booths around the yard, and the Happy Elliott Clan public relations machine shifted into high gear. Music filled the backyard. It was Steve Allen hogging the grand piano. Charles Carralt wrestled Andy Rooney shirtless, and Art Buchwald rode the giant trained pig. At lunch, the big table was set, and I sat at the head of it, and we ate bean and bacon soup and filet mignon, blood rare, as usual. And the photographers snapped their shots of the privileged life of which the world was so envious.
Now, Chris Elliott, what are some of the books that you read to get in the spirit for this malicious tell-all? Book.
Well, sort of
unfortunately. I'm sure I've interviewed every one of the authors, by the way.
Probably. Well, I guess I went back to see if there were any books like this, and I found that there were quite a few. I guess Christina Crawford's Mommy Dearest was sort of a template for some of the stuff, and of course Gary Crosby's work about it, his dad. And B.D. Hyman's book, there's a little of that in this also. I must say, though, my dad's ignoring my chapters. I find that incredibly bumptious on his part.
Well, Bob, were you ever afraid that people would read this book and not get the joke and think that you were the kind of father as is described in the book? And,
no.
And that you forced Chris to dress like you and put on a bald wig?
Well, I don't know what that means. But
what's chapter three, Dad.
Oh.
You really haven't read the book.
No. I was never concerned because I thought I made my points perfectly clear. It was a chance to set down some ideas and thoughts I've had over the years and had no place to go with, and this seemed a real good spot.
Chris Elliott, when you were growing up, how aware of you were you of your father's comedy? Did you hear radio shows? The TV show was already over.
Yeah, the TV show was over, and I heard him on the radio. I was aware he was funny, but I assumed everybody else's dad was, too, and it never really occurred to me that no one else's dad had a radio show. He'd leave in the morning wearing a suit and a tie and carrying a briefcase. I'd hear his voice on the radio, and then he'd come back in the afternoon, but I never quite made the connection that he was a performer. I guess when I was about 10 and they had a Broadway show, I started to realize that he makes people laugh for a living and that maybe I could try to rip off the public that way also.
Did he do characters around the house?
No. It was a very normal, dull, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Good word.
Childhood. There weren't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a wacky, off-the-wall comedic lifestyle that we led. It was very dry-witted.
I think that really was the secret of Bob and Ray not being wacky or off the wall, although some of the material came off that way. But we were very kind of introspective and shy in a certain extent. And when we began radio, we we're amusing ourselves.
How did the process of writing this book together change your relationship at all?
No, I don't think it changed the relationship any, really. We maintained a remote relationship while we were writing it, and we're leaving separately from here.
Yeah, it's the book tour that's changing it. We're really...
This being together is really terrible.
We're kind of just sick of each other, and it's just begun.
Chris and Bob Elliott talking with Terry in 1989.